Go to John chapter 1. I realized something the Lord from the very beginning was trying to get me into the understanding of this. This particular revelation was given to me about 12 years ago, but I didn't understand it till now. That's what he'll do. He'll give you things, but he has to bring you to where that place is. Amen. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and his life was the light of men. So we see here that the Lord, his original position before he was made flesh and dwelt among men, he was the eternal Word. He dwelt with the Holy Spirit and the Father. That was who he was. He was the Word. Say the Word. He took upon our nature and our likeness to redeem us. But he was the Word. Amen. Now, with that in mind, I want you to go over to Acts 17. Tonight, I want to talk to you about being a poet of the Word. Say a poet of the Word. If you haven't heard this before, this will be a little enlightening for you. Acts 17, verse 28. Boy, this was rolling in me today. For in him, say in him, in Jesus, in the Word, say in the Word. In the Word we live. In the Word we move. In the Word we have our being. See, in him we live, the eternal Word, we move, and we have our being. If we're stagnant, it's because we haven't learned how to move, because the Word moves, and he moves us with him. And the only way that you can live, in him we live, that's Zoe life. We move, we're activated in him. By faith, there's only one way you can move in him, and that's faith in him, the Word. Amen. And then we have our being. We have our identity in that Word. What does that mean to you? In him we live, move, and have our being. In him we live, move, and have our being. Look at what he says here. It's pretty interesting. As certain also, as he's preaching in Mars Hills, as your own, say, poets have said, for we also are his offspring. Now we move. Now I want you to just underline the word poet, because we're going to go look at another verse with that exact same word, poet. But it doesn't say poet. It says something else. But it's the exact same word as poet. Actually, the word is poetes. I'm not one of these guys that throw all the Greek around, but poetes is that word, poetes. It's a word for poet. But in him, in the Word, we live. Now, you know we've been speaking about birthing into the promise, inhabiting the promise, moving out of point A into point B, being aware of the promise, being aware, seeing through awareness, moving out of circumstantial, living into the promise. So when the Lord brings a promise to us, when he brings the eternal promise, when that promise is him in that promise, in that Word, when a word is given to you, we're talking about how to move into the Word of God, how to move into the promise of God. He's just giving you an extension of himself in another dimension that you haven't arrived. That's really what a promise is. He comes to you as an extension of himself in a future state that he has preordained and predestinated you to be, and he sends that living Word, an extension of himself, to you where you are, so you can be in him and move in him and have your being in him. What about that word that's given to you that's a promise? Amen? What about, yeah, I know I'm in Christ in salvation. I move in him. I live in him. I have my being in Christ, my Savior. What about Christ, your promise? What about Jesus, your promised land? What about what he said to you that's a future state? You're still moving into him. Amen? In him I move. In him I live. In him I move. Say move. And in him I have my being. What if God is speaking you, the Lord Jesus, the Word, is speaking you from a position of your future? It's still him. Because he inhabited eternity. God's inhabited eternity. He's not bound by time. He lives in eternity. But he's speaking from a future position. He speaks to you where you are in fellowship. But then he speaks to you where he wants you to be by promise. So he gives you a promise so you can move into him in that promise. All he's doing is moving time table down a little bit, and he speaks from a future position, but he's giving you an extension of himself in the form of a word, him, the word, and he sends that word to where you are. And he sends it back over here to point A, where you are, not so you can live here all your life and be miserable. He sends it so you can incorporate that word. You can give yourself, say, in him, see, in this word he's given me, in this promise I live now. You don't live in the promise in point A. You got to go to where he is. From where he spoke that promise. So he gives you the promise. So by faith, I move to where he is and say, in you now, Lord, I live. I move into this promise, and in you now I have my being. Because his word is spirit, and it's life. I'm having my being from where he spoke the word, amen? I'm having my being from the position he spoke, because he spoke the promise from a future position. I move into that future by faith, and then all, this is the way God designed it, when you move in him in the spirit, when you get and you start acclimating to this position, you live, you move, and you have your being from where he spoke. Amen? You have just moved by faith. This is how God designed it. You move into faith. Faith moves you to where he is. And then as you sit down with him, he brings all of where you were to where he is. If you don't, you're going to sit here for a very, very long time. Like Abraham, he had to go to where God spoke that. Amen? So, notice he referenced, when he said this, in him we live, move, and have our being. And he says, as your own poets have said that. Like almost he was referencing, this is the poetic nature of God to do this. That's what he's saying. He goes, you're your own poets. You're his offspring. Amen? Now I want you to go to James chapter 1. That scripture right there I just gave you is a very powerful verse to move into your promise. You can take that verse and move. That gives you the license to move in him. See, you look at the Lord as one-dimensional, like he's where you are. But the Lord is not only where you are. He's where you're going. Amen? He's where you're going to be. He's already dwelling there. So in him I can live, in him I can move, and in him I can have my being. I can do that in him where I am, but I can also do it where he is, where I'm going, from the position he spoke to me, from that promise. Amen. I can move into him. I can live in the Zoe life, and I can have my being. What's that mean, to have my being? I can be what he said I can be. I can sit as a king where he said I was, but you don't look like a king over there. You don't look anything like what God has said over here, but in him I do. In him I can live, in him I can move into that position, and in him I can have my being, my identity, and what he said. I can dwell where he dwells, even if everything else is not caught up yet. Because faith is what's going to move you. Because as you move into the faith and assume the identity and the being that God's called you to be, then it gives God license to manifest where you've come to by faith. Your faith goes first. You can write that down. Faith's going to go first. You're going to dwell there, and then God's going to manifest your new dwelling. That's why when I say you pray, don't pray out of this jurisdiction. When I say before you start praying, before you start trying to move into your promise, enter into the inner sanctuary of God. Shut the door to the world. Shut the door. Enter into the holiest of all. Why? Because you got to get into Him. You get out of this jurisdiction, then you're licensed to move. You got to get into where He is. Even if you're in the middle of this circumstance, you escape the circumstance. You go into the holiest of all. You shut the door. You move into position, and then you go. Then you go to where He is. In Him I live. In Him I move. In Him I have my being. What if your circumstance doesn't line up with what He said you are? Okay, He's speaking from a future position. So I go to that future position and I become aware of what He said. I move into the awareness of what He already spoke. I am a king. I am an apostolic priest. I see His government. I see the waters flowing. I see the realm of the creative. I see revival. I see glory. I'm aware of the glory of this place. I have my being in what you said. From this position, I can dwell in the next position of the church. People come in here and they see this. I don't see this anymore. And it's brought a whole lot of peace to me. Because I used to come in and say, God, is this it? And I'd go through the same spiel everybody goes through. 15 years, 18 years of doing this. Is ocular observation. Come in here. The kingdom doesn't come by ocular observation. When you walk out and you don't like your job, I don't like my circumstance, you can either observe by ocular observation or you can enter into what God has said. Because in Him I live and move and have my being. I don't live in my circumstances. I don't move in the midst of my circumstances. I don't have my being there because that's not what's going to define me. Because the enemy wants to certainly define you right there. He wants you to have your being and what he says about you. He wants you to have your being and what those circumstances say about you. He wants to have your being and say, this is all it's going to be. He wants you to have your being what people think about you. He'll bring a few of them now and then. That is not what defines you. You're defined by what God said about you because He's speaking from a finished position. I'm going to move into it and have my being through awareness, through poetic awareness. Say poetic awareness. James chapter 1. He said, did your own poet say that? Say poets. That comes from a Greek word, poetes. This is the same word, by the way. Are you ready for this? James 1, verse 22. I'm loving this. But be you, what's your Bible say? Do you know what that word doers is? Poet. Poetes. Be you poets. Say poets. It's the same word. The same word he used in Acts 17 is poets. It's poetes. Be you poets. Say poets. Poets. Be you poets of the word. That is exactly what that means. What's a poet do? I found a very good definition from an online dictionary of a poet. Are you ready for this? A person who has a gift of poetic thought, poetic imagination. There's that word imagination. Poetic creativity together with what? Eloquence of expression. What does a poet do? A poet looks into something. Actually, if you want to know how a poet actually does this, good poets will move themselves into an environment by way of creativity and by way of the imagination, and they will speak from expression of the environment they've moved into. Good writers will not write by documented fact. Good writers will actually move into the realm, and they will write from the creative part of that realm, from what they see, what they're experiencing. They move themselves. Good actors become the person. Even though they're not that person, they spend lots of time becoming the person that they're going to represent. They get around people that have done that before, and they listen to them because they have to acclimate to that person's character. They have to change who they are, and they have to be somebody else. Now, they're doing that in acting role. We're doing in a role of truth. We're changing who we are in fact, but we're becoming somebody in truth. Somebody that was already predefined. We're moving out of where we are, being a doer of the word as we move into a poetic place in the word. We move into the position. We assume that position. We see. We assimilate that environment. By way of the sanctified imagination, it's an environment that has been expressed by God's word, by God's truth, by God's promise, a place in the Lord. And we live in that position, and then we give poetic expression by way of decree. And we release a decree of who we are, what we are, from this position of poetic expression. Be you what? Doers, be poets of the living word. Be poets of the word of promise. Be a poet. You know what we do? We do poetry in reverse. We sit in point A and we give poetic expression constantly of what point A looks like. You assume the environment. You assume, you acclimate to it. Not you, but these other churches out there. You live in it, you speak from it, you murmur from it, and you give poetic expression of doom, despair, agony on me, deep, dark, depression, excessive misery. And you give voice to the image that you have taken in. And you're giving poetic expression to any and all that will listen to your book. I'll sing you a song, I'll write you a poem. You can see it. I mean, I can just paint it for you if you want. Do you have any idea what we've been through? Life's not fair in point A, I'll tell you that right now. The enemy is extremely vicious in point A. What he doesn't have access to is your future. The only way he steals your future is binds you to the now. You got to move out. In Christ I live and I move and I have my being and I enter into a realm that's alive. For the word is alive. And I give expression. And I take in and I simulate the environment. And I become aware of who I am in him. I've moved in him. Now I have my being in him. Amen. Now let's look at the next verse. Be you poets of the word of promise. Be poets in Christ. Not ears only. Everyone's going to hear a word. The doer or the poet's the one that's going to get blessed. What do? We hear the word. Michael was talking about that last week. He said, man, God kept bringing me visions and visions. And I would just say, yeah, that's great. Thank you, Lord, and discard it. You got to take what God shows you because he's speaking from a future position. He's trying to get you there. You got to arrive there by faith. And then it gives him the license to create that. Here's not only deceiving your own self. Verse 23, you're going to like this. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a poet, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso what? Looketh I think we've been talking about the eye. You got to look into the perfect, say perfect, law of liberty. See, God, when he speaks to you, when he brings his word to you, he's bringing it from a perfected place of liberty. And he's speaking from that position. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues there, say continues. He doesn't stop. So I started meditating. That natural face really got a hold of me. I'm like, okay, look, I'm supposed to behold my natural face in a mirror? That's point A. Surely you're not telling me to behold the natural face, the natural circumstance, and then walk away forgetting what a manner of man I was in the natural. Isn't that the point? I'm supposed to forget what manner of man I am in the natural. So I said, Lord, what does that mean? Beholding the natural face in a mirror. I started meditating. And then I broke out the Greek. And the Greek, you know what the Greek word for this is? That word natural? Genesis. Beholding your Genesis face. Beholding your original face. And it also means nativity. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm walking around beholding my nativity face. Behold my nativity face, and I'm not supposed to stop beholding my nativity face. And I'm thinking, what does that mean? My original face. What does that mean? And I kept meditating. I was walking on the floor meditating, and I saw a nativity scene. And I'm praying. I'm looking at baby Jesus in nativity. And I'm thinking, nativity scene? Behold my nativity. And it hit me. He said, a natural man. He said, a hearer of the word. He comes out from where he is and he beholds his birth of Christ face in a mirror. He beholds who he is in his original mandate before the fall. He beholds who he was. What God made you, what God preordained you to be, what God predestinated you to be, who God predestinated you to be. He behold the image of Christ in you. You're beholding it from his word. But the natural man, he said he beheld that, but he walked away from the mirror. He walked away from the mirror. See, the hearer, everyone gets to hear. Everyone gets to hear who they are. Everyone is going to get a word. You cannot seek the Lord and God not come and start talking about your future. This is the way God is. He wants to bring you to where he is, whether it's point B or point Z. He's going to bring you out of where you are into where he is. People want to get saved and sit at the gate of salvation all their life. That is not God's plan. He wants you there. He wants you moving in him. He wants you to have your being in him. He wants you to go look who you are in him. He wants you to go look and not stop looking. But a hearer looks and goes his way. Oh, that's great. And what he does, goes back and looks over here. In the circumstantial. You are going to conform to what you're looking at. Bottom line. You're going to conform to what somebody said about you or what you've been looking at. If you want to get out, you got to be a poet. You got to be a poet. You got to come out to the mirror of God. You got to come and behold the glory of God. Behold the birth of Christ's face. Behold the original face. Behold the original. When God made you in his image, you go out there and you look and you keep looking into a perfect law of liberty. You get in there and you start becoming aware by way of poetry. You have poetry in you. You just don't know it. Because when you start dwelling in this place in life and in him you live and move and have your being, when you start dwelling here, it's going to show up in your mouth. You're going to speak who you are. You're going to decree who you are. You're going to decree the circumstance. When I start dwelling here, I'm dwelling in a place the church is going to soon be at. I'm dwelling in a place where this place is filled with all good things that I didn't feel. with sons and daughters and disciples, hungry and thirsty, with apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, helps and governments, filled. I see this worship team filled. I see worship coming out of the right hand of God. I see His glory. I feel His glory. I live in it and I decree it. I decree the activation of this place. I'm giving expression from this realm because I'm living there. Or I can go live over here and tell everybody how bad ministry is. People who live in that realm are going to get beat up. You live in point A, you're going to get beat up. You're going to get beat up. You can't live here because the enemy is vicious and he's not fair. I don't care who you are. He's just not fair. I can escape. You can escape. I can escape into truth. I can go look in another mirror. I don't have to look in the mirror of this circumstance. I don't have to look in the mirror of who I am right now. I look in the mirror of who God said I am. That's why He brings His word for you to hear in the first place. He brings His image of who you are. He brings His promises of who you are. You see that? I think God's given us a lot of great and precious promises. Whole bunch of them to look at, to live in. All of this is Jesus. This is the Lord. It come out of Him. He is a living word. These are His words. You don't have any of my words in this document. Somebody said, well, I'm going to throw that away and cut it up. They got all upset. I'm like, you're just cutting up the Bible. It's not my words in there. I didn't even comment on the scriptures. Somebody took this as like, this is not really a book to read. I said, no, it's not. It's just words. I said, yes, it is. But they've been uniquely arranged into an apostolic king priest government. And they live there. And I can enter into Him because that's the Lord. I was trying to tell people that when I entered into Him, I started having fellowship with Him. Fellowship and a promise. And people got all upset about that. He was the one gave the promise. He is that promise. I just entered into a place that He spoke from. That's the same Jesus that loves you from where you are now. You can enter into Jesus into your future. Because God's not bound by time. I'm not going to be a forgetful here. If you do, you're going to get it handed to you. We have to be poets. We have to live in the realm of God. And live in the place He spoke to us. And we decree and speak and give expression from this position of victory. You speak from the position. The finished place. When you study Abraham, he didn't change his name until Genesis 17. He let him carry the promise for 24 years, and then he changed his name. When he carried the promise, in 24 years, he says, now, Abraham, I'm going to change your name. Because he was arriving into what God said about him. He says, now, you're Abraham. You are father of many nations. And every time you introduce yourself as father of many nations. I am the father of many nations. It doesn't look like that. I am the father of many nations. That's the way faith works. Faith works in the unseen realm, but quite seen by you. If you don't get out of where you are into where He is, you're going to stay. And I don't care what people say to you, what people do. They can give you word. God's speaking to you where you are to get you to where you're going. But you have a part. And your part is to be not a forgetful hearer. Your part is to be a continuous poet, continually looking into the perfect law of liberty from the position He spoke from. I'm continuing looking. My imagination's here. The creativity's here. The awareness is here. I'm acclimating from this place. The expression here. The confession is here. And the decree is from this place. When you learn to do that, you have mastered faith. God will move you out from where you are. Where you've been locked down, He's going to move us out into the promised land. Look at the ones he gave the promised lands to. You cannot inherit the promised land outside of faith. You got to mix the faith. When Caleb walked in there, he knew who he was. He knew that was his land. He knew it at 40. At 85 years old, he never lost it. He walked right back in there, said, "This is my land." He kept it. He could have gotten them soured in the wilderness. He could have murmured with the rest of them. He could have let the wilderness get in him, but he never did. He said, "The strength that was in me at 40, I'm 85 now. I'm ready to go. Give me the mountain. It's mine." Joshua said, "You know the sons of Anak are there." He says, "They're bred for me. Their defense is parted from them." That's a guy at 85 years old that had nothing but Egypt and wilderness. One trip into the promised land, and he never became a forgetful hearer. He constantly looked into his promise, and he never let it go. And he got it. See, we're going to get it. We're going to get it. We enter into that mirror. We look into that mirror. It reflects something. You see it. You look into it. You're not looking at who you are. You're looking at who you're going to be. Who he said you are. You're really looking into truth. You look into that mirror and you'll conform to it. And that's what's wrong with us. We're looking into the wrong mirror. That's the one the enemy wants you to look at. And he paints some very vivid and real pictures of life. He brings the emotions. He creates the atmosphere. And he wants you to give the poetic expression of his will for you. And God wants you to look in another mirror. Look at us over there. Look at what we look like. Somebody come in here and like, apostolic training center, king, priest, government. They come in here and look into the eyes. When we walk in here, I see you halls, four or five deep, backed up to the front door. I see a big old white horse. They're linked up to that white horse, and he's taking us to a whole nother realm because this place ain't going to hold what God has for it. I see people filling the place. I see a whole worship team, an ASAP government up here. I feel the worship. I feel the glory. I see the glory. I'm seeing the creative miracles. I'm seeing the expression of those little kids' faces and the mommy and dads when their kids are deaf and they had no hope and all of a sudden their ears pop wide open and mama's crying and daddy's crying and the kids running around. I can hear. Daddy, I can hear. I can see the boy born paraplegic and can't walk and is going to all their lifetime have to sit in a chair and be taken care of. All of a sudden comes out of that chair and his legs work for the first time seeing and the crowd erupting. I'm aware there's another mirror to look at. I'm aware that that word that he gave you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we could look into those words and see the living Christ. The works that I do, you'll do also, and greater than these. We've been trying to do that forever under the gift realm. The gift realm was an extension of God where you are. He comes, he goes, "Look, I'm going to use you where you are, but I really want you to be where I am, with the anointing without measure. I want you over here." Instead, we built whole international ministries. And we're running around in the gift realm and wondering why the world's not coming to God. And he's over here and said, "Listen, the anointing without measure has been prophesied. And it's been decreed that it's yours. The works that I do, you will do also and greater than these. I go to my Father so you can come and sit with me. The way I am, there shall you be also." He's going to bring his people to where he is. "He's coming to get us soon, you know, the rapture's coming." Yes, it's coming, but not before God has his full-blown expression. His church and power and glory. And it's going to be a wealthy bride and a powerful bride. and a glorious bride operating in fullness. We're living there now. I can see it now. It's one word to prophesy, but it's a whole other thing to come and dwell there by awareness. The poet moves in, and I'm closing with this. The poet moves into the awareness of a place. A true poet will never give expression to something where he is. He moves into the arena, and then he expresses it. He moves in by imagination. That's why they can speak about roses, because they're dwelling there. They smell the fragrance of it. That's what they do. That's what writers do. Good ones move into that. That's what actors do. They move into some other place. And that's what you and I are doing now. We are poets of the word. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. You have a choice to be a doer or a hearer. That choice, nobody can do that for you. You're going to be a poet or you're going to be a hearer. How many want to be a poet? Praise the Lord. Song and sound and decree and expression. Moving into the environment of the Most High God. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the word that sets us free. Lord, in you we live and move and have our being. We move where you are. We move into you, the King. We move into you, the apostolic high priest. We move into you, the healer. We sit down with you, the creator of all things. We move into you as wisdom. We move into you as power. We move into you as glory. We move into you as manifested wealth. We move into you as pure, unadulterated love. We move into you in pure joy. We dwell where you are. We dwell in you. We see you in a mirror. We're aware of the mirror.